We're going to get into the Word for just a few minutes here as we continue our series on impact. You know, God has called us, you know, we kind of mentioned that just a few moments ago. God's called us to have an impact in this world, to have an impact right here in our community as a local church. He's raised us up, and He has a vision, a call, a plan for us, and it's for us to love Him and to love the world. You'll remember a few weeks ago when we started this series, we read about the Good Samaritan, and in the context of that message, it was a legal guy, a lawyer, who was trying to trap Jesus and try to manipulate Jesus and asking, "How do you get saved?" And Jesus says, "Well, what do you say? You're this lawyer, you know, not like a lawyer that goes to court to defend us here, but a lawyer of theology, you know, and in the before the Sanhedrin and that sort of thing." And and Jesus said, "Well, you're a lawyer. What do you say?" And he said, "Well, you ought to love God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Love God with everything in you. And then to love your neighbor as yourself." And Jesus said, You've said well. Do this and you'll live. If you do those," and didn't Jesus say that on his own in another place? That if you do these two commandments, you fulfill the entirety of the law. You'll cover everything else. And so the lawyer, now, you know, it's like, okay, love God with everything in me. That's a challenge. Totally give my life to the Lord. And love my neighbor as myself. And it says, wanting to justify himself. He was wanting to get out of who his neighbor was. So he said, "Who's my neighbor?" And then Jesus did the story of the prodigal son. And we all know the story. And that prodigal, not the prodigal son, the Good Samaritan. And that the person who had been robbed and beaten and left for dead was rescued and helped by the Good Samaritan. And Jesus asked the lawyer, "Who is the neighbor to this person?" And he said, "The one who showed mercy on him." Jesus said, "Go and do likewise." So our neighbor's everybody. Our local church, we're called here to have an impact. Not just on our immediate congregation. We always minister to our congregation, to our family within the fold. That's first and foremost what you do. But he says, you look outside of that. And it's not just the house behind us, the house over here, and the house across the street that's our neighbor. Not just this neighborhood, but we're pretty mobile with our cars and things, and so it's our whole community. You know, we can have an impact on our community. And that's what this is all about. And we've been talking about it for a few messages, and here on this fourth message, I want to share a few scriptures to set the foundation, and then I want to have an interactive time with you and for you to work with me on this sermon to say, how can we have an impact right here in West Plains? Amen? Galatians chapter 6, verse 2 says, "Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." Doesn't that sound like just what we were talking about? That when you help others, when you bear somebody else's burden, you're fulfilling the law of Christ. What's the law of Christ? He said it. Now, this lawyer said it rightly, but Jesus said it himself. Love God and love others. Can we sum it up like that? That's the law of Christ. He says, if you do those two things, you won't steal from people. You won't covet. You won't commit adultery. You won't kill people. You won't break all of these commandments. You won't use the Lord's name in vain because you love God. So you'll obey the commandments by just doing those two things, love God and love others. Everybody say, love God, love others. We'll fulfill the law of God, the law of Christ, by doing that. Now, dropping down to verse 10 in the same chapter, Galatians 6, it says, "Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are the household of faith." So yeah, we want to minister and meet the needs of our local church, the household of faith, our fellow believers. You take care of your family first and foremost. You know, you don't take food out of your kid's mouth to be able to to give to someone else. You do take care of your family, but you don't say, okay, well, I'm taking care of my family, and I'm just taking care of us four, and I'm believing God to bless us four and no more. We need to put our faith out there that we have more than enough to meet our needs, but also to be a blessing to other people. And so it says to do good to all. And not everything is monetary. We all have talents. We all have ability. We all have physical ability. You know, you can rake leaves or mow a lawn for somebody. You can just visit. You know, we saw in that video, some people just need a hug, or some people just need to have someone show that they're cared for. They just need somebody to care. They need Jesus with skin on. They need somebody just to come in on the scene because we need that tangibly. Amen? And so let's do good to all. The household of faith, yes, but to everybody. So that's that same concept that our neighbors beyond who's in this room today, who's in our immediate household. Amen? Now, Hebrews chapter 6, we're going to read verse 9 and 10. And this reference and the next reference, I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. I like the wording. It makes it easy to understand. It says, "Dear friends, even though we're talking this way, we really don't believe it applies to you. We are confident that you are meant for better things, things that come with salvation." Some translations say things that accompany salvation. So salvation is by faith in Jesus Christ, but there are things that come with salvation, things that accompany salvation, okay? Verse 10, "For God is not unjust. He will not forget how hard you have worked for Him and how you have shown your love to Him by caring for other believers as you still do." So, in accompanying salvation, we're supposed to be doing good things for other people. And we're supposed to work hard at it. So you don't do one good deed a year and say, okay, I got my quota in. You do as the needs arise and as you are able. Amen? God's called us to love Him, and in our loving Him, it says here, we show our love for Him by loving other people. Because see this, God loved the world so much that He gave His only Son. We all know that, right? God loves the world. Can you say it? God loves the world. Not just me. He loves the world. And how can He love the world? Through us. We're the body of Christ. That's why when Jesus left, He said, "I'm leaving, but I give you authority. I give you an anointing. The works that you see me do, the works that you've witnessed, these miracles and the mercy and the love and the words of encouragement and all that you've seen in and through me, these works that you've seen me do, you shall do also, even greater than these." Now, the Apostle John said that if you took the works of Jesus, the miracles that He did, that all the books in the world couldn't contain them. Jesus worked hard at blessing people, of showing the Father's love for everybody, because He was a manifestation of the Father's love. And He said, "You'll do the same thing and even greater." Well, how is that? Well, I always look at it like this. Jesus was in one place at one time. But we're all the body of Christ, and every one of us, wherever we're going, we can do those same works. And so he's healing here and here and here and here. He's providing here, here, and here, and here. He's showing mercy here, 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 and here. Love here, here. See, we're able to take and multiply what He did because we all make up His body. And every one of us can do what He did. Isn't that something? Now, James chapter 2, verse 14 through 17, again, this is the New Living. It says, "What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith, but don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone? Suppose you see a brother or sister who has no food or clothing, and you say, goodbye, have a good day, and stay warm and eat well, and then you don't give that person any food or clothing, what good does that do? So you see, faith by itself isn't enough unless it produces good deeds. It is dead and useless. Faith by itself, unless it produces good deeds, it's dead and useless because it's not Bible faith. It's not what we could say real faith. It's just an intellectual assent. And there are so many people in this world who say, oh, I believe in God. I'm good with God. I'm spiritual. And then you say, wow, what? I was just reading somebody saying something like this, and they're like, oh, I don't believe, I don't go to church, I don't do anything, I just believe. Well, I believe that Donald Trump's the president of the United States. I believe that. But I don't know him. I mean, I know him, but I don't know him. In other words, if I get on the phone right now, I have a cell phone over here, if I dial the White House switchboard, I can't say, hey, this is Ray Taylor, in West Plains, Missouri, just so they know which Ray Taylor it is. Can I speak with Donald? Or can I speak with President Trump, which is what I would say. And so, Miss Melania, if I said that, and they said, Ray Taylor from West Plains, Missouri, so he would know the right one, is calling, do you know him? Are you available? So I have no idea who that is. Little busy to be taking random phone calls, I think, you know, although he's a wonderfully interactive person when he's present, but he doesn't know me and I don't know him. And so there's a lot of people who believe in Jesus that way. And what the Bible's telling us today, and we're going to get interactive now, but what the Bible's telling us today is that to truly know Jesus with Bible faith, with real faith, that will save you, but there will be an outgrowth from that. There will be accompanying reaction. You're going to start doing good works. You're going to start doing things. You're going to start serving in His name. And you don't have to put glasses on because you got the Holy Spirit who He sent as your helper, as the one to lead you. So the Holy Spirit, He will cause us to have an awareness. Tell that person I love them. Go up to that person and help them out. You know, this person's in need. And how many of you can, as I'm getting the microphone, how many of you can say, I've had those moments in my life where I just felt prompted by God to say something or do something for somebody, and I really didn't know anything, but I just went up and I acted on that, and they were blown away. Have you ever had that kind of thing happen? I have had, on two particular occasions, people that were going to commit suicide, and I had no way of knowing that. And the Lord had me go up to them, and just in one case, I was in the Army in Kentucky, and I was dropping off a guy. I was assistant pastor in the church, and dropping off a fellow soldier. Lisa and I and our daughter lived in an apartment. Well, she was pregnant at the time. And with our first daughter, we lived in an apartment. I'm dropping this guy off at the barracks, another guy in my company, and so I drove him into the fort to drop him off, and I normally would just drop him off and just drive home. But for some reason, I felt prompted to get out of the car, and the parking lot's kind of offset from the barracks, but I got out of the car that night, just felt prompted, go up there with him, and walked up to the barracks front door with him, and he went in, and there was a couple guys on the front porch. And I just felt prompted for one of them to just start a conversation. And I just began to talk to him and said, yeah, I'm dropping so-and-so off from church, and I'm a minister in the church. You know, he was asking, well, what do you, you go to church? And so I just started doing it, and we started talking about the Lord. And I started telling him about how God loved him and you know, everything I was just feeling led to do, just having a conversation with him because I felt prompted. He said, can I talk to you for a minute? And he walked out to the parking lot so he could be alone with me to my car. And he said, I was about to just, when you walked up, I was about to walk off that porch and head and get in my car and drive it as fast as I could into something and kill myself. But I know God loves me. And I know he sent you. And so he received the Lord. And he didn't commit that act. I've had that happen, that kind of instance, twice. And there are sometimes people may not have even said. There are sometimes that you may have had that happen because you just did what God prompted you to do. And they didn't say to you, if it wasn't for you saying that, this is what I would have done. Maybe they were mad at somebody and they were just going to go out and have wrath just unleashed. Apparently there's been a couple people that are just doing that yesterday. There's people that give place to wrath and everything. And God just might have you come on the scene and say the right word at the right time and cause them to not lash out. Who knows? Who knows? God has called us to love him, and in showing our love for him, to love other people. And when we do that, we will fulfill the law. Now, what we're going to do this morning, let me see, how do I turn this on? I'm gonna remind you of the sphere of influence, and I guess I didn't tell you to put the sphere of influence. And Cody, would you mind handling this? We are recording this message, as we always do, so we can put it on the web live. It's being streamed live to people who are listening right now. But we also record it so that we can let people listen to it after the service. Maybe they're working this morning and they can catch up, you know, in the next couple days or so. And so we record it. So in order to do this interaction, if you just talk to me without a microphone, number one, people who are listening right now, maybe Janie's listening right now. Or maybe there's someone, you know, in another state, another country somewhere listening. I've had over the years a few people contact me from all over. It's been wild. And if you're talking without a microphone, they won't hear you. And I won't have the interaction, the things that you're saying on the recording. So if you have an idea that we're going to get ready to share, I'm going to ask you to use the microphone, hold it up to your mouth, and share your idea, just so that we can make sure that everybody's a part of it. Amen? Can you do that? Now, the sphere of influence we showed last week was if you picture three circles, you know, each one a little bigger than the other one, the center circle is the local church. It said, do good to others, especially the household of faith. You know, love other your brothers. When you do that, you're showing love for me. So it starts with your family, your church family, the household of God, but it's supposed to go beyond that. And so outside of that, you could say your neighborhood. Who's my neighbor? Well, these immediate neighbors, people who are living right here, you know, within walking distance, we could say that, our neighborhood, everybody within walking distance. And then outside of the neighborhood, people a little bit farther away that live a few miles or so, that would be our community. Now, we're supposed to take our works and our good service and impact the whole world, but we dealt with that in an earlier service. What I want to do is just today and maybe next week talk about some of the ways and have you interact with me on that. What are some of the ways that we can have an impact on our church, our neighborhood, our community? Now, let me say this. In under the category of church in these areas of focus, how do we impact and minister to the needs of our local church? Well, we have journey kids. Mom gets to have a little relief while the kids are getting ministered to and received from the Lord. Dad gets to have a little break. You know, we were watching a television show, and they were the first family in the United States to have five girl babies, octuplets. Is that right? Quintuplets. Yeah, five quintuplets. And they had this show on them, and they went from one child to six children instantaneously. And I tell you, what I have seen in the few episodes, in the name of Jesus, brother, let them come forth. That's a shock, but I have observed through that they're wore out. And so when those kids get babysat or they go to preschool or a class or something like that, that's a relief. Well, Children's Church, our Journey Kids, is ministry to the kids. In other words, we don't just And know this, we don't just babysit them. We teach them about Jesus, how to pray, how to believe God, to know, to teach them the love of God. And so that's going on. And then along with ministering to children, we have young adults, our teenagers. And so that's the Route 210 ministry to the youth. And that's going wonderful. We built a room for them down there. And, you know, they're when we did that, we started having teenagers faithfully come. We had two new ones last week. And you know, and our grandkids, and, you know, they're getting fired up. All came back from camp, all four of our kids, our son and three grandkids, and they're inviting friends. And they've got a cool place to take them to. And they've got great ministry that Lisa and Cody are bringing to them. Same thing, on their level, where what they're dealing with in their life, they're not just having fun activities. It's not just a youth activity thing to keep them occupied. They're being ministered to. Along those same lines, we have Journey Women, ministry to women in the church, and that's been going well. And I know they'll be doing another one of those in the next month or two. But there's always teaching, and they take turns teaching. It's really cool. We have intercessory prayer to pray for the needs that we have. There's prayer cards in the back of the church. You fill those out. If we don't publicly pray, we prayed for a lot of things today. We may not always pray for everything that we hear about, every need that's coming up, but we're going to make sure that those go to the ladies that are praying on Thursdays. But there are areas, other areas in our local church, ministry to men. You know, women have been doing is it every 2 months, every other month they do something? Men need to have ministry. We need to have something. And so there's opportunity to have a better impact. Ministry to seniors. Now, we have a number of seniors in the church, and the women's ministry is great, the men's ministry is great, but sometimes, you know, they just want to have some ministry within their peer group. Amen? And then you could say young adults. As we start having more young adults, then they'll have things. And the activities for seniors are going to be a little different than the activities for young adults. I don't think the seniors are going to go bungee jumping, but the young adults might. But you never know. Who's to say? So that's areas in the local church. And I want you, as you share things, be open to that. But then the neighborhood. There's ways, what can we do? And that's where I want to start today. And we'll go outside of the neighborhood and then into our larger community. But what are some of the ways that we can touch our immediate neighborhood? I'm just going to give you an opening to that. Last week, or two, how many weeks ago? Three? 3 weeks ago already, we had a church picnic. And the day before the picnic, a couple of the teenagers and an adult, I think it was Tina, wasn't it? Tina and a couple teenagers went out and just handed an invitation to the neighbors. And I think we had five families show up with their kids and ate with us and played all the fun games we had, all the water activities, and really enjoyed a good time. We got to show the love of Jesus. And so it just shows you, that's one example of something you can do. Have something that the neighborhood can come to and have a good time. Fall fellowship's coming up. We could repeat that. Maybe do a better job of even canvassing more of our neighborhood and interacting. So there's just an idea. But what are some of the things that you can think? How can we touch our neighborhood? And Cody, if you just want to raise your hand, and Cody will come to you with the microphone, and just say, what is it that we could do for our neighborhood? And I'm not going to let there be what you know, I'm not on the radio, but what they would call dead air on the radio, because that's not going to work real well for people listening on the internet at the moment. So I'll try to keep it going in between. But anybody got an idea? What can we do for our immediate neighborhood? And while you're thinking, let me just say another one. If we were able to go and have some personal contact with a few people in less than an hour, I think, and have an immediate impact. What if we went out into our neighborhood and said, hey, we're your neighborhood church. Didn't know if you knew us, if you don't have a church home, just wanted to let you know about our presence here. But because we're your neighborhood church, we want to pray for our neighbors. Is there anything that you or your family need to have prayer over? We can go out and we can pray for them, because that's what Jesus did. He went around doing good. And while you're still thinking about an idea, what does Mark chapter 16 say? You can put that up there, that graphic. Let me read to you Mark chapter 16, because this is pretty cool. I know Chris and the grandkids that went to camp know, because this was their theme verse. Let me get to Mark 16. I was in Mark 14. This is the Great Commission. Of course, the Gospel of Matthew and the Gospel of Mark have these, this Great Commission. In verse 14 of Mark 16, it says, "Later he appeared to the 11, and as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they didn't believe those who had seen him after he'd risen." That just tells us one of the things we need to be doing is telling people Jesus is alive. And his own disciples didn't believe that when the message came. So we got to get out there and start by telling people Jesus is alive. That's what they did. So he rebuked them, but then he said to them, now that they knew he was alive because he appeared to them, he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Now, when we read that, we have an idea of the English word preach, what I'm doing today. So that's just for the fivefold ministry. That's just for the people called to be preachers. That's not who he's talking to. He's talking to all believers, all the disciples. This is for everybody. The word preach just means to proclaim or to tell. The gospel means good news. So when we think of preach the gospel, we think me up here preaching, like I'm doing. But no, it just means to tell the good news of Jesus. He's alive. He's the hope of the world. He's the healer if they have sickness in their body. He's the answer if you're overwhelmed, if you're feeling depressed, if you're feeling discouraged, if you're being pressed by the enemy. He is the one who sets captives free, and he is the answer for whatever need you have. It says, "He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he that does not believe will be condemned." We want to get out there and warn people. Let's let them know the good news so that they're not condemned. Jesus is saying, if you don't go out there and tell them, they're in a mess, just like you were in a mess before you accepted him. How can we live in this world and not be helping other people when we've been helped? And then verse 17, listen to this. "These signs will follow them that believe. In my name they'll cast out demons. They'll speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." Did you know that you can go out and have supernatural manifestations as you touch people, as you encounter people? You can pray for them right where they are and see miracles happening. I just finished a book called The Miracle of Balco, and it's about a story. It's a book written by the previous pastor of a church in Balco, Missouri, which is out in the Kansas City area. Our former pastor that we were associate pastors for, he just recently started pastoring that church. But the former pastor wrote this book, and it talks about this city of less than 200 people, of all these miracles that God was doing over the years, and it has all these testimonies of all these healings and everything. And what I really loved about the book is, I was reading these testimonies, a lot of them were the people who were led to pray for their coworker or their neighbor, people in the store, people they encountered, and they were healed. And they were doing what Mark 16 tells us to do. So we can do the spiritual things. We can do the supernatural things as well as the tangible things, like the story of the Good Samaritan was talking about. He had physical need. And that shows the love of Christ. Who has an idea? What can we do for our local neighborhood? Has anybody had something that's like, what could we do to have an impact? We may be small, but we can do something. Cody has one.
So I've never been a real big fan of like going around and talking to people, just because I've never been great with small talk. But I love the idea of like going around doing service for people. So you see someone whose yard might look a little unkept, going in, mowing, raking up leaves, that kind of stuff. Just doing things to be a blessing to people. So kind of just letting actions speak out.
Amen. Acts of service. All you have to do is open your eyes, right? You can see if there's a need and be able to do something for them. And And there'll be opportunities. If you notice a need, can I help you? Just knock on the door. Can I help you? That's something we could do. And that would be a blessing. So excellent. Acts of service. Like you said, there's just manifested in a variety of ways. We're your neighborhood church. Is there anything we can do for you? If it's beyond our means, yeah, I need my mortgage paid off, you know. Silver and gold have I none. I don't have $20,000, but such as I have, give I thee. You know, but there's things that will come up. Some people will say it. I can just tell you, while people are still thinking, because we're thinking just neighborhood now, next week I'm going to talk about the whole community, which includes the neighborhood, bigger things. But when Lisa and I were looking at acts of service and ways to come impact your immediate neighborhood and grow out into your community, as you get a bigger congregation, you can spread out further and hit neighborhoods all over the community. But this local church was doing that, and they talked about how they went, and in their case, I think they were doing light bulbs. People run out of light bulbs, and so this was years ago. They would take a light bulb, but they just knock on a door and say, "We're your neighborhood church, or we're the local church in the community, and we're out here, and we just wanted to see if there's anything you need to be prayed for about, and to give you a light bulb, because everybody needs a light bulb." And so this lady, you know, she took the light bulb and didn't really have anything. Just say, "Pray for me." You know, I think she, did she tell him on the first visit? I think she did. It was before she had she got the light bulb, and she put it on her mantle. And during the year, they went back and hit that neighborhood again. And when they went back, the lady said, I need you to pray for me, broke down, and said, "It really means a lot to me." I can't remember if it was the first visit or the second. Not important. But she said, "My husband passed away this year. And I kept that light bulb because I knew you were praying. And it gave me a little comfort, but I'm just so glad you're back. I really need you to pray for me. I'm struggling." And they prayed. You know, the light bulb had an impact. You know, and maybe somebody's light bulb goes out and they put it in. Every time they turn that light on, it's an opportunity for the Holy Spirit to say, "God loves you. A church gave you that." You know, just a little inexpensive thing. There's things you can do. Be creative in showing how you can love. It was just a tangible way to have an impact, an encounter to say, "Can we pray for you? Is there anything we can do for you?" Because see, every one of us can do, every one of us can pray. Every one of us can lay hands on people who are sick. Every one of us can intercede for them, lift them up. Every one of us can show the love of God and just be kind. Because some people opening that door, they're alone. Maybe they lost a loved one in the during that year, you know, or a year before, and they've been alone. And you just coming in and knocking into their world, their neighborhood, into their yard, and knocking on their door and say, "Is there anything I can do for you? We're here." And they just might need that. Brenda shares that openly, so it's not a secret. You know, Jean's moved to heaven, and she's in that transition and feeling a loneliness, and she just craves fellowship with other people. You know, it blesses her. So Grief Share, another thing, local church, I didn't say that, but Grief Share is a ministry we're doing. That's under community because it's our local congregation, but it's for the broader community. But it really helps her and others that have been coming to it. And so, you know, it just loving people. We can do that, can't we? Maybe have a cup of coffee with them. You find out they're lonely. You find out that, you know, I all my family lives all over the country. I don't hear from them a whole lot. You know, just say, "You know, hey, it's okay if I call you once in a while. Would you like to come to church with us? And we have coffee, and just it's friendly, and just some other people to interact with to break up the monotony of your day. Maybe drop by, have a cup of coffee with them sometime, or invite them for a coffee." Ways to interact. That could be your local neighborhood over here, Cody. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It takes a commitment. But Jesus said that's the way we show love for God, by loving other people. Yes, Glenn.
Learn about me, BT. taking some water over to the walking pond for the bike.
That's a great idea.
We could fill a large container with drinking water, and then we would be there with our tennis shoes on and have a good ear. If somebody wanted to talk or would like some company while they walk, there might be a wide group of people there from our neighborhood and other places that might not know that the church is right here. And within walking distance.
And you know how we can do that? We did that once before with some bottles of water. We can print labels and put Journey Church on the water bottle and do that. Because, you know, when you're out there and you're walking and it's hot, and that can be a real blessing. And I love, see, that's taking this message to heart. Not only give a bottle of water, which is wonderful, but wear your tennis shoes and walking clothes, and if they're alone, you might just walk with them and just visit with them. Maybe they're alone and just need to hear about the Lord. Just be led by the Spirit. But by going prepared with tennis shoes and walking clothes on, you don't want to be dressed like I am and say, yeah, let me walk with you in my dress shoes and my suit and be, passing out, and they're going to have to get you some water. But to go dressed and ready to be able to meet a need and just interact with them. I love that idea. And it's local. You know, taking water to the local area. You know, and it can be hot chocolate in the wintertime, you know, if there's an event going on. And on the coffee cups, we can put Journey Church. Just so that, as you said, you know, to connect them to that, hey, we have a neighborhood church, a place to go. Because in our interactions, in our connections, we always want to point to Jesus. Always do everything in the name of the Lord. And you can share a connection card. You can share you're invited. Right there on the back of the church, on that back table, there's cards. And if everybody take a few for when you have an encounter this week, and I'll bet you do because of the messages went forth, you can take one of those cards and have an interaction with them and then just invite them to church. Just say, hey, if you don't have a home church, I've really enjoyed my time with you. And I want you to know I'll be praying for you. But if you don't have a home church, just want to give you this card and invite you to my church. And so always have a connection to be able to bring back so that we can minister to their needs. Emotional, spiritual, physical, whatever we're able to do, as we're able. Because we've been given so much, we want to give. I love that. I love it. Anybody else? We're wrapping our allotted time up today. We'll start next week, the very beginning. I'm gonna do the full time of this interaction, and next week we'll do the full time so we have more time. We had communion and a longer prayer and everything today, but we'll start with the neighborhood, and then we'll go to the whole community next week. So Miss Christie, yes.
I don't know if this is exactly what you're looking for, but what I keep feeling like I need to share is to just. I'm not trying to be negative towards a community or family or anything, but you know, sometimes when you go places, you feel that anxiety or irritation in the neighborhood, you know, just sometimes, no, not just knocking on somebody's door, just going and getting groceries or being around your inner circle, like your inner family, you know, people who's around you a lot. Even if you don't feel like it, just simply being more cheerful and being more positive, you know, sometimes that's contagious. And sometimes, like your inner circle, the close neighbors that you're talking about, they know I go to church. You know, they know you and they know you go to church. Sometimes just being stable and being an encourager, you know, that helps them. You know, to be a churchgoer that's stable and can give you a word of encouragement, even if I don't feel like doing it,
be instant, in season and out of season. Peter said, be ready to give an answer for why you believe in every situation. And you know, just Christy sharing that and talking about, because she took it a little beyond this local neighborhood to her neighborhood and her family and stuff, which we'll do more of next week. Invite people, your neighbor, to church. Christy brought a teenager to church one time, and it turns out she's one of the ones that came, wasn't it, last Wednesday? No, she went to camp, And so there's some interaction. So there's some way to follow up and try to get, or Chris is our friend, I forget what, there's a connection to this girl that you brought before that was your neighbor, and it's a connection to those kids in the youth group that, you know, you. But we can just invite a neighborhood kid, you know, give mom a break, you know, and do that. Mom may follow, dad may follow. You know, I'm going to give you one more because, you know, this, and then we'll do it next week. You know, and not everybody is gonna say do this, but you know what? Hey, babysitting, you can do that. And what do I mean by babysitting? For your local neighborhood, something we can do. Again, times that you just go out and have some interaction. Do you know, I noticed that in our local neighborhood, it's not the most prosperous neighborhood in the West Plains area. And I notice in this particular neighborhood, a lot of people walking. And they're carrying grocery bags. They're walking because they clearly don't have a vehicle or they don't have gas for their vehicle. They're walking. And, you know, and so they may not, because of that telling me about their economic condition, you know, we had Operation Christmas Child, and we want to bless kids around the world through our Operation Christmas Child giving. That's touching the world part, and we're really good at that. But what about our neighborhood? One thing I've said in the past, something that we could do, and if we do it organized within the church, they might feel more comfortable than a stranger saying, hey, would you like me to sit with your kids, go out for dinner or do whatever? At Christmas time, before Christmas, but in the Christmas season, you know, we can go out to the neighborhood and say, if you have kids, because they don't have the money to be able to pay for a babysitter, so they got to try to figure out, how do I get a Christmas present for my kid? Because I got to take them everywhere I go. You know what I'm saying? And we could just say, we're going to have some people who have had background checks. We're going to have adult supervision, some teenage helpers, and some fun things for the kids to do. And you can just go for this period of time and just go shopping, go out to eat, you know, just that we'll just make that time available to you just to be a blessing to your family. There's an idea. Take this week, because some of you are like, okay, I don't know what to do. Now you know what we're going to do next week. I want to have an interactive sermon where we could say, what are some tangible ways that I can show the love of God to this neighborhood? And then we're going to take it beyond this neighborhood to our neighborhoods, which is our neighbors, our coworkers, our broader community. And I want to see, because I believe that what will come up out of this, I like what I'm hearing. Everybody's got the heart for it, but we may all bear witness with an idea that's a God idea and say, we can do that. We can get some water and go out there. Some things it may be just individually or a couple of us do that act on something. Some of it may be the whole church as a whole. Because we had communion, we took that off. I hope you didn't carry that yourself back there, girl. But that's a little bit heavy. But Pastor Lisa and I brought something in. Something we can do in touching our community, we'll get into it next week, is just, but it can affect our neighborhood if they have a need and we find out they have a need for food as we interact with our neighbors, is we have a little bit. Everybody, just every service, have a goal of bringing at least one thing. We brought a sack in today. Last week I brought a couple cans in. You know, I mentioned it in 3 weeks ago in the sermon. You can forget what's preached, but now we're reminded. Let's just create that culture of the giving tree. And we may grow beyond just filling up that bucket, because I can't, it's just so much coming in that will, you know, sow into the Samaritan outreach directly as well as a giving tree, you know, and food pantries in town that are set up and have the facilities and things. We can do things. But always we can have some things here, you know, be able to help somebody if they have a need. So just some thoughts. Okay, I tell you what, let me, I hate to do that. Let's do it next week, but I have abused my time, and I shouldn't decide. I didn't know somebody else had an idea. Next week, we're going to continue on. Think about it. More importantly than just thinking about it, pray about it and let God's thoughts come up. from here up to here. And let's be ready to share. What can we do to our neighborhood? What can we do in our community? What can we do to have an impact? We want to love God. And in our loving God, we want to love others in the name of the Lord. How can we do it? See, we hear it, but how can we do it? I believe some God ideas are going to come up. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for this word. We just believe we're going to have an impact. You've called us to have an impact, and we're ready. We're ready to do it as a people, as a local body. And we may be small, but we can do some things. And we thank you that we won't despise small beginnings. We are going to start reaching out and touching our world, starting with our congregation, out to our neighborhood, to our community, to our entire world. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.